here we go. Independence Day 2019. Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker, Scott Spears coming at you here today. Pastor, one of the most, one of my favorite times of the year, without question.
Yeah, I think it is for myself also. It is a good time of the year. I'll tell you, for the last 10 years, I have not been able to have a fourth off to do because being on the fire department, we're always busy on that day with the celebrations going on, and I work that day, essentially, you might say, and it's kind of a work day for me, and although I'm not there all day, it takes up enough of the day that you can't do anything else, and it's great to do. It's a great event. I think this year I will probably, as in years past, I haven't said anything, but I assume I will. Give the Declaration of Independence. I'll read the Declaration of Independence at the park and just some odds and ends like that. And it's really an enjoyable day to walk around and see people you don't know. And our family always gets together and has fireworks. And, yeah, it's kind of a good time.
You know, it's interesting. This is the first year that in a long time that I've ever had the 4th of July not doing anything in radio. But we looked at the weather this year and just – because it's usually fair week. And we're usually at the fair doing programs.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But the weather looked so awful last week that we just thought there's not a whole lot of sense in doing that. And from what I've heard about the fair this year, I mean, great people put the fair on, and thank goodness for all the kids who get involved with livestock, and that's always a great part of it. But I don't think the fair is having the walking traffic that they have had in past years, which is too bad.
You know, and I don't know why that is. I think you're right, and I question what tomorrow's 4th of July celebration will be like, and especially the park in Prospect, being the fact that we're supposed to be, we're calling for rain again, and I know the park's wet today, and you know, I'll be honest, Scott, I think that this year, with all the rain that we've had, I think people are tired, and I don't know that I mean physically, well, physically and mentally. I don't know what it is, but I think people are kind of tired.
Well, tomorrow does not seem like the 4th. Usually there's a lot of festivities going on. It's very sunny. It's very hot.
It has been for a while.
Yeah. We had a few in there. But it just today, with the dreariness and the thunderstorm that came through last night, it does not seem like July 3rd. I don't know how Red, White, and Boom will come off tonight.
I don't know, because it's pretty, I'll tell you what, the mosquitoes alone are really getting bad. And, you know, it's really sad. We had a guy named Michael in Prospect that went and took his training to do the mosquito fogging for Prospect last week. And on his way back from the place in Columbus where he did his training, he rode his motorcycle there. He hit a lady in the rear end and broke his femur. Kind of sad deal for him. He's going to be okay. But, you know, he's not going to be doing that fogging, that's for sure. But, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's really funny. I mean, how things will pop up on your phone that you posted one year to that day. I had this pop-up come up on my phone, this just beautiful picture across a open soybean field with the sun setting behind it that I did a year ago, and the soybeans were 2 feet tall. And I looked at that, and I thought, that's a year. Wow. I mean, look at the contrast.
I saw that last night when you posted that. I thought the same thing, because I live across from a field. It's not a huge field, but it's a field that people farm. And usually by mid-May, this is done.
Yes.
Yeah. They haven't even started. And tomorrow's July 4th. They had a truck over there one day, but I have not seen the combine. I haven't seen anything because they don't get a long enough stretch where it doesn't rain.
Yeah. I know with the wheat coming off, it's you know, now they have to start thinking, are these wheat heads going to sprout out on them? They're just so much. And, you know, really, Scott, it kind of tells us how delicate our ecosystem is in a way, and our everything that we do. You know, it talks in the Bible about in the end times a loaf of bread costing what would amount to today to be hundreds of dollars for a loaf of bread. People think, oh, that's silly. But, you know, you think about it. If we had a major crop failure, and everyone had a major crop failure worldwide, food would be gone real fast. And you know, I was talking the other day and with Terry that everything that we do, literally everything we do, eat food-wise goes back to agriculture.
Oh, certainly.
You can't make food out of plastic or minerals or anything like that. Even things that aren't really what they are, made of soy, which comes from soybeans. And, you know, it's just amazing that people don't understand. Everything we consume comes off a farm, some type of a farm, everything.
Well, it does all go back that way, and I don't remember the statistic, but the amount of agriculture in Ohio is still a fairly large number.
Oh, it is a large number, but as far as you know, a lot of people have left the farms because of corporate farming. They're in the cities now, and you know, I think it goes back to a stable income, and it used to be, you know, I think in the agriculture field, so many people it was and on such a smaller, not only a smaller scale individually, but it was it was a lot more diverse within what it, like a particular farm might raise five different types of things, whereas now everything's so individualized. You know, beef farmers are beef farmers, dairy farmers, dairy farmers. And it used to be the way farmers worked. It was when one was up, another was down, and vice versa. And they, whatever was hot at the time, that's where they made their money. But, you know, families would all, the kids would grow up and they'd all farm. And, well, there's not room for that anymore. So now they grow up and they go into manufacturing or business fields or tech fields or whatever. And a lot of it is for the stability of the income and just a regular, you know, weekly check. It's hard. It's really hard to be a farm wife. I know that. And because the up and down of everything. And I know with my son-in-law, he's just so spinning his wheels right now. And bless his heart, man, he's a hard worker. And these milk prices have just beat them into the ground. And now because of the rain, the grain prices are going to be up. And, you know, what are they to do? You know, if you are farming and you're only going to get 50% of your yield, I can guarantee you by the time crops come off this year that the price of that grain is going to be doubled anyway. So they're really not going to lose anything in the grand scheme of things.
Well, it's an interesting thing because what I have found when we talk about stability in jobs, I have a relative who for many, many years, well over 30 years, always worked in management and always worked with the public, with the general public in some kind of form or fashion. And just recently decided that that was not the way to go anymore. And he has gotten a job that is more in the manufacturing industry where he just goes in, does his job, gets paid, comes home. And I think he's happier than he's been in a long time. I think people want stability.
Oh, I do. My son started out in the he's an ag mechanic and a truck mechanic, and he started out, you know, working for trucking companies, and he enjoyed it, and it was just pretty steady. But he long story short, when the economy kind of went sour a few years back, the trucking industry was laying off horribly, and he stepped away from it before it was his turn, and the last 5 or 6 years he'd been farming and with a guy farming, and he left and went back to that regular job just this last year because he was just never home, and it was so up and down, and the hours and the it was, even though there's some freedom because, you know, you can stop and go do something, you're still called away, and you gotta, you know, the weather so dictates. You know, you can have a vacation planned, but if it rains for 4 straight weeks and your vacation week, the sun's out, your vacation's not going to happen. And so he's back in a job now where he can actually come home in the evening and know what time he's leaving to come home every night. And I've noticed with him, he's a lot more settled than he was a year ago. He seems to be in a much better mood most of the time.
And it does. It affects your mood. It affects your life. And, you know, when I think about the fourth, this is one of my, this always rings true. When I started in radio, because there's so many things brought about on the fourth, fireworks and Declaration of Independence and Uncle Sam and all those things that are good, nothing wrong with any of that. But when I started 17 years ago, there was a lady, Madge Cooper, who was on the radio at that time, and she had done something a tradition that she did every July 4th, and she did it long past her retirement. And I played it early on today. And I always found that it was the most apropos thing to do on July 4th. And essentially, it's the story of Ben Franklin becoming an ambassador and going to France after the Revolutionary War.
Right.
And basically, the whole idea of it is, the whole piece is, if those people, like Ben Franklin, like George Washington, like Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, could live for 200 years after the Revolutionary War and be around in today's time, would the people who did not live during that time, did not fight that war, still appreciate the 4th of July, independence, the reasons that they did it like they did? And that's the question of the thing. And you know, some people say yes and some people say no.
I think that it's is waning fast. I think that there's a lot of people that truly do appreciate it and are real patriots. And as far as that goes, and they understand. I think sometimes, Scott, you have to make yourself today be a student of history, because we're not being taught the history like we were when, you know, for generations. And I know when I grew up, and I imagine when you did too, you started out with Ohio history, and you had your Ohio history book, and you learned Ohio history from beginning to end. And then you had American history. And then you had world history, and you had government, and all those things, and you had a book, and you it was your book. You could reference back to it any time. It just wasn't a lesson that you go by, click off, and go to the next lesson like they do today. And I think because of that, we were able to get a better grasp on all those things. And I think that there were a lot more things, events around those things. I know that when I was a real little rascal, even the neighborhood that I lived in had their own parade. And, you know, I was a Cub Scout and walked in the parade. And now, you know, Marion will have a parade, I think. Do they?
A popcorn parade. They still have a Christmas parade.
But they don't have the 4th.
No. 4th is gone. And they used to have a Halloween parade. There's a lot of things that have changed.
But, you know, Prospect won't have a 4th. But we go, our family every year goes to Ostrander. Ostrander still has a 4th of July parade every year, and we've gone for years. But, you know, most communities don't even have a 4th of July parade anymore. And everyone runs down to Columbus to red, white, and boom, it's all about the fireworks. And, well, the fireworks don't tell the story of any of our history. I mean, if you go down there, it's all set to different music. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with our freedom or our independence or anything. And I miss those old days when every community had floats and floats were judged and all the kids' bicycles were had all the ribbon in the spokes, and you'd see 30, 40, 50 kids on bicycles. You know, that was, that's kind of Americana that I miss.
Well, I think it's been pushed away because people just seem like they can't be bothered anymore. People are too busy. I was talking with somebody the other day about walking outside in the summer when the weather is nice, which it was for the last 4 or 5 days. You don't see a whole lot of kids outside. You don't see a whole lot of people outside. People are in their air conditioning.
That's true. But I think, you know, there's a lot of things. That's huge, as a matter of fact, the whole thing about. I just had this conversation yesterday with a guy that we dropped off a swimming pool pass at his granddaughter's. They live in a trailer park over by Ashley. It's a nice little park. It's a very clean, you know, nice trailer park. But there was not one child outside. And I asked Frank. I said, Frank, if you lived here and you were a kid, where would you be right now? He said, I'd be outside and every other kid would be too. We'd be hot, but we'd be playing ball. We wouldn't care. And there was not one child outside. But at the same time, I really am disheartened of the fact that there are so many people, even in our government today, that are disparaging about our founding fathers, about our government, about where we came from. And there's a whole group of young people that are being raised today, from the millennials forward, that are taught not to have pride in the United States. Matter of fact, to be proud of America is somehow makes you a bigot or a racist, or where does this craziness come from? I mean, this has been the greatest nation ever built. That, I mean, look at the millions and millions of foreigners that came into this country and put this country together and made lives where they came from places where they had no lives, and they were proud to become an American and get citizenship. That just doesn't seem to be something that anyone's too jumping up now to do these days.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And I was talking to a lady on the phone earlier on about this today, somebody who had called in, and hopefully they're still out there listening. What I think has happened is that people now are very attached to people. The people living now, people in history, and they're not so much attached to the idea. Like, to me, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, things of that nature, those are ideas. Now, an idea can either be good or bad, but you can look at the idea and decide what you want. People are attached to people. And it, 9 times out of 10, it's people they've never met, don't know, and they get so offended. They either get very offended or very happy when they think of these people. Well, I don't know what these people were like. I mean, they might have been great people. They might have been awful people. I don't know. I wasn't around to know them. But to me, whether or not, when we're talking about founding fathers, George Washington or John Adams or Thomas Jefferson or Monroe or Ben Franklin, whether or not they were good people, I don't know. Well, I don't know. And if you want to say Ben Franklin was an awful guy, okay, that's fine. But I don't know that changes the idea. I don't know why we're so wrapped up in people.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I agree with that. Because if you look at the men as a whole and what they did, they put their lives, their careers, and their reputations on the line for future generations. Now, think about that. Most of what they did was to prepare and pave a way for people they would never meet. So they couldn't have been that bad of guys to view when it comes down to it. But I think that people want to selectively pull people out and find things in their background, say, aha, he was a this, or aha, he was a that. You know, and I don't know that they were or they weren't. Who's to say why they did a lot of things they did? We didn't live back then. And if we certainly look at the things we do today, I think that if someone looks back on you, Scott, or me, or anybody from 100 years down the road, they can find an aha moment and why build a reputation on that. I think that as a nation, the thing that strikes me about America is we have given more people a hand up than anyone ever could have imagined in the world. We still do. When there's a disaster in the world, we are the first ones in every time. Every time. We stay the longest. We pump the most money into it. What's to not like about that? I just really, what is the hatred of America? Part of it's jealousy, yes. I think that part of it is America maybe stays around and tries to interfere too much. There's some things you can't fix. And it's just like the thing in the Middle East. What they're doing now in the Middle East, they have been doing for thousands of years. That's what they do. They war with each other. And some of it's brutal, and some of it's unbelievably unhumanitarian and cruel and egregious, but they've been doing it forever. And for us to try and Americanize those cultures is silly on our parts. Now, I think that we need to be involved enough and know enough that we can know what's going on. I don't like the idea of not knowing what's behind door number two. You know what I'm saying? And I understand that. You know, who was it that said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer?
Abe Lincoln said that.
And isn't that a true statement in a way? And as far as I see those areas, you know, don't let somebody be building a monster plan of attack behind our backs that we don't know about. So we need to have some form of closeness there. And a lot of it goes back to ideologies. That culture despises American ideology. And they're going to despise our ideology because it's not theirs, and they always, that's the way that is. But for people in our country to despise our country, I think to me is really very, very laughable, because while they despise it, they take advantage of everything that it has to offer.
You know, I don't know where that has always necessarily came from, but I think it's a, you know, one of the reasons the country, well, first of all, if we look at every country around the world, we've never succeeded fully in Americanizing anything.
No.
Never. It's been tried.
Never.
It doesn't work.
We're a unique country.
Well, that's
we're the idea. Melting pot. What other country in the world is the melting pot that we are?
Well, and people across the world are not able to adapt to that. So there's that. So the idea that we're going to Americanize anything just doesn't work. And the second part of that is that one of the reasons that the freedom, the First Amendment, everything that's in the First Amendment, was put there, which is a big deal when you're talking about 4th of July. One of the reasons all those freedoms were put there is because they didn't have those under the rule that they were under. Those people, if they spoke negatively about the people running the show at that time, bad things could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want that for their country. So that's always kind of the yin and the yang of speaking negative about this country, because the founding fathers, we talk about the Washingtons and the Adams and the Jeffersons and all those, Ben Franklin, they hated not being able to say that the things going on here stunk. They didn't like say they wanted to be able to say they stunk. And that's how we got the First Amendment, and that's why people can say it stinks here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I wonder why people don't. You and I can sit and talk and realize a lot of things and why they're the way they are. But why people don't stop and think and do the same thing is sometimes is beyond me. Why in the world? Why do they continually want to jump on the bandwagon of disparaging a disparaging attitude? I don't understand that. I think that what does bother me, it's kind of like, you know, you have a spoiled kid, and boy, I hate my mom and dad, but, you know, thank God they're paying my cell bill, and thank God, you know, they're giving me money to go to Dairy Queen, and blah, 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 on and on. And that's what it seems to me with so many people. You know, I grew up to believe, and I grew up and I was taught in my family that you know, if you don't like something, work to fix it. And if you can't work to fix it, leave. I mean, if you're at a company that you can't do anything about the way they do things, and you can't stand it, and you're going to work every day, and you're pulling your hair out because you just can't stand, leave. Just walk away from it. And go somewhere where you think it's better. Or do something to do something different that you don't have to do where you're at. And I just don't see why people today can't do a little bit more of that. I don't see, you know, one thing that was real interesting is that throughout history is we were a family. Americans were a family. And don't mess with an American or we're going to come to your aid right now and we're going to come to someone's aid immediately. And I don't know that that's the case so much these days as it used to be. We're all Americans, but do we stand up and support each other because we are?
Well, there's too much division, and there's a lot of reasons for that. And I think over time, one of the biggest reasons for division is kind of where I was earlier on. We have put our faith way too much in people.
And, oh, absolutely.
And if you don't like this person, then I can't like you, and if blah, 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 blah. You know, I really, when it comes to a person, I'm more interested in the ideas that they have. I'll make my judgment on their ideas. Them as a person, I don't know. I you know, they can do whatever they want. They have to answer before their family. They've got to answer before their friends, and they've got to answer ultimately when they leave this planet. So that's their problem. But I care more about their ideas, but that's not the case. I sometimes scroll down Facebook, and I never put anything political on Facebook, but gosh, I scroll down and see the things. They're attacking people. They're not attacking ideas. Matter of fact, I don't even think they know the ideas. They're just attacking people. I don't like this person. Okay.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they know more than they're saying, more than what you can actually see in that. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, like, to give you an example, the recent situation with Nike dropping the patriotic shoe because Colin Kaepernick came out and said that he thought, oh, that's Betsy Ross, that's, you know, that's racist. So they actually pulled the shipments back from stores. And that's kind of that frenzy you're talking about. It's not, they were afraid. I mean, this affected a major marketing decision because they were afraid that enough people hated poor old Betsy Ross, man. What did she do? She sewed a flag with 13 colonies on it, for crying out loud. Could you imagine something like that 30 or 40 years ago?
I can't. But you know what, to me, where my mind went when I first heard that story was, Nike's a private company. Now, nobody can force them to do anything in the way that what they put on their shoe.
No.
They can put whatever they want. No. So, when he made that, and also, this is America, he can make that statement.
Absolutely.
That he doesn't like their shoes.
He has every right to do that. He's right.
Now, somewhere along the line, somewhere at Nike, they decided that he had enough power to, mm-hmm. that they didn't like it. So we better do something about it. So I, you know, to me...
But the thing is, Scott, that this was just what you're talking about. This was a decision based on fear that people were individually not going to like a person, not an idea, nothing like a person enough, or like a person enough. You know, why do you support Colin Kaepernick if you ask someone that? Now, some people could give you an exact reason why they do, but a lot of people would say, because.
Well, I think the Kaepernick thing, to be honest with you, when I look at the Betsy Ross situation, I think Nike as a private company, to be honest with you, the people who made that decision, which was not Kaepernick, which was not certainly not Betsy Ross, which was certainly not the people who'd manufactured the shoes, the people who made that decision were sitting up in an office, and they are number counters, and they
made a calculated decision.
And I think their calculated decision came from the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl decided they were going to buck the Kaepernick idea this year. And the Super Bowl is always big and a money maker and something people want to be a part of it. Well, this past year, the NFL, what, a private company, found out that the ratings went way down. People declined to perform at the Super Bowl. People picketed it. Now, is that right or wrong? That's an opinion, but it was all around one person. And I think Nike said, do we want the same problem? And also, I think he's employed by them now, is also another big problem.
So, but the whole thing to me is still silly.
Well, it is. It's an interesting argument to have, because, which is what people are having now because of this conversation.
I think it was just I think that, you know, they made a corporate decision. Okay, they made a corporate decision. They're going to lose a lot of money because they put a lot of money out to put this together, to manufacture this thing, and now they're pulling it back. All because they were scared to death it would blow up in their face because of one man's opinion. That's what I'm talking about. We have become so touchy-feely on people's opinions and who we side with, and that it can make a major thing shake up that never would have shook up before.
Well, herein lies the problem, which is a conversation we've had many times before, which is I hear something or I see something on television, radio, wherever, and then we have to get that off. That show can't be on anymore because I don't like what they said. You know, that shouldn't happen. You know, I that to me is insane, and that's to me what happened here. They were afraid of the people. Nike was afraid of the people who would back Kaepernick, saying, we're not going to buy your products, we're not going to buy these shoes, we're going to lose a tremendous amount of money on this. And that's what happened. It, you know, it's interesting because it works both ways.
Yeah, the thing is, Scott, what if Nike would have come out and said this? What if they said, look, Colin, we hired you against the better judgment of people within our company that didn't like what you stand for. We hired you knowing that there's a lot of people that are going to quit buying Nike because of what you stand for. We're making this shoe to appease the people that do like that, And within a company, we have that company right to do that. Now, you're over here. You've got that. That's settled. We're going to now appease this side of the people that quit buying our product.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I don't know why they didn't.
And said, you know, if you don't like it, there's the door. And they're, you know, we're a company. We're not Colin Kaepernick. You know, if you want to sit on that, be the president of the board of directors, be that. But you're not going to call all the shots as to what we're able to manufacture and what we're not.
There has to be something financial behind that. Because if he was not making them money, if he was just a complete loss, and they'd lost a lot of business, I don't think they'd be putting so much in what he said.
Oh, I don't think so either. I think that in a lot of areas, there's been great support. And there's been people that I don't understand it. I think the whole thing has been blown out of proportion from the, you know, if you want to sit on the sidelines and not respect the flag of the United States of America when it's being played at a ball game, I think that I look at that whole situation and I say, wait a minute. First of all, this is a ball game. It's not a public event that is sanctioned, a government event. It's not a school. It's not a this or that. They've always played the national anthem. That's fine. My second question is, what in the world do football players have to do with patriotism? To me, nothing.
Well, that's the problem.
They're an athlete. They're an athlete. They're playing ball. We have injected patriotism into our stadiums and into our general public, and it's up to the general public to decide, do I accept this and go to the ball game or do I not? You know, we've made it a national issue, and I'm not sure it should have been. Now, on the other hand, I think that every owner, team owner, board of directors of that team, if they are very patriotic board and they have the right to say, look, here's the deal. Either you respect our flag or you don't play for us. Simple as that. That's who we are. And you're getting paid multi-millions of dollars by us. I think you can do this one little thing. First of all, you don't even half the time know exactly why you're doing it. And then there's those teams that are going to say, hey, come over here. We welcome the dissension. We welcome the anti-patriotism, the anti-Americanism. Go there and play. But this across the board, you're going to behave like this or else I don't.
Well, this is, herein lies the problem. When this whole thing started 2 years ago, I don't think the majority of the country, certainly not the people who know his name now, even knew who Colin Kaepernick was. And Colin Kaepernick cannot make himself a star. The problem was there was a certain group of people who wanted to take what happened on a Sunday, one particular Sunday where a camera just happened to be on him, just swung that way, and on Monday they wanted to write stories about it, and on Monday they wanted to have it on their radio show and talk about it for 3 hours and take phone calls, and they wanted to put it on the evening news. They made him a star.
He's not even a good football player anymore.
They made him a star. And when you do that...
And his name, everyone will know his name for...
Forever.
A few decades, anyway.
Well, for a long time. And when you do that... I think it backfired on him because I think a lot of people were using it as a negative. I don't think they wanted to beat him over the head because, frankly, I don't think they knew who he was. But I think they were using it as a symbol. And then a whole bunch of other people weighed in on it. And by that time, everybody knew who he was. And if you believed in what he believed in, you were behind him. And now he is a symbol for a certain thing. So much to the degree that multi-billion dollar company like Nike not only employs him when the NFL wouldn't
bow down to him,
but are his ideas.
Yep, they did.
And, you know, that's why you have to be very careful, even when you talk about people you don't like, because if you talk about them enough, people are going to know their name. It's that old thing about no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, that's right.
Worked for him.
Yeah.
Now he doesn't have to play football anymore, and he's making more money with Nike than he ever was on the football field.
So there you go.
And there you go.
So, yeah, you have to be careful about how much you harp on something. Everyone will know who they are.
Yeah.
Just like the old saying, you tell a lie long enough, everyone will believe it, because they hear it over and over again, and before you know it, it becomes the truth.
You know, and that's one of those things when I think back to 4th of July and I think back to Founding Fathers. You know, they were not perfect people, but... I think sometimes they do get made to be perfect. You know, my question is, if I was ever able to talk to any of them, you know, the real people who worked on the Constitution, like Jefferson or Adams or Madison, what I would like them to know was, or what I would like to know from them more than anything is, they obviously put a mechanism in the Constitution for it to be amended.
Right.
So, did they want it to be, did they think, well, this is just going to be changed as time goes on? Because there now are groups that are called constitutionalists that say we should never mess with this document.
I think that I really think they thought that the framework was to be, but the amendments were allowed to make way for things that would change within society, maybe a little thing here and there. But the basic framework and the backbone of the Constitution, it served this country extremely well, and it's been fair for an awful lot of people. And I think they did it. It was a remarkable, well-written document in how they did it. But if you look at why people want to change it, usually the ones that want to change it for a personal interest and not an interest that is best for the entire country. Think about that. The Constitution was written to be a document that everyone in the country could live under. But a lot of people that want to change it are people with different ideologies that want them to meet their ideology.
Well, it's interesting because the Constitution itself, if people go back and look at the original version that was sent to, that they thought they could get passed, it's not the version we have. And a lot of things were added that we hold very dear now as part of the Constitution to appease certain colonies that would never have signed off on it.
Exactly.
Because they had to have 13 colonies. And if you look at it, there are amendments that were added only to appease
those colonies.
Yeah. And Madison wrote that in his journal. There are letters he wrote to Washington saying, we've got to add this because they will not pass it if we don't.
And none of them were too critical not to add.
I do think
the original founding fathers, if they could have passed it and not included, and if they could have passed it and done away with slavery, I think they'd have done it.
Well, the big one that's always brought up in that was the original Constitution that they wanted to pass that was sent to Washington from Madison there is no Second Amendment. That was put in because Washington said they won't pass this in 13 colonies. So that the framers did not even have that in.
I don't think they thought they probably couldn't envision a need for it. But they had to have someone come up and say, look, guys, look what we just went through. You know, there is a need for it. And it's really interesting that someone had the foresight for that, because every country in the world up to today, with the exception now of Australia, but that has taken away the right of people to keep and bear arms, as the government has turned on the people.
Well, it's interesting.
Look at Venezuela.
Well, it's interesting because I just think when you look at those letters and what they're saying, not that it's all about the Second Amendment, because there were other things as well, but there were so many fears by these people that we just don't like it. We don't like, there were some other amendments too, so this is not the only one, but the Second Amendment has become such a big deal that's why
in the last couple decades,
that this has been a big deal, because in these letters, which thank God were kept between Washington and Madison, there's a big, that they are so annoyed that they have to appease people in certain colonies, because they like the original version.
And that was a lesson for them too, because I think they needed to understand, when you're going to govern a nation, you have more than one group that you have to appease. And it's just kind of like the movement that we have right now the movement that we see to go to a popular vote in our presidency. My word. I mean, if we went to a popular vote, the East and West Coast would elect every election, and we'd be left hanging in the middle with not, you know, the rural areas would lose their vote.
Well, the interesting thing was, where I was going with that particular story was, since then, you know, women are not mentioned in the Constitution. Didn't come in till 1919.
But it did.
There were a lot of things that, you know, I don't know what the people who drew up the Constitution founding for, I don't know what they thought. I don't know if they thought that this is a something that's changeable, that this is fixable, that we can handle this. You know, in the original Constitution, there's not term limits for the president.
You know, I think that, first of all, they could only speculate on what would come down the road. And they could only operate from a point of what they knew. And since the time of the Constitution's original writing, so many things have changed, so many things have happened, that I'm glad that they made the provisions they did that allowed for amendments, because we've needed them. But we could not expect them to foresee today. First of all, you know, if they did come back today, if they could suddenly reappear, I think they would be, in a lot of ways, they would be thrilled that the nation's lasted how it has and survived. But I think there's other parts of it that would make them very sad and would blow them away. They would not understand a lot of what goes on in our society today. I don't think that they would understand, just because the difference in the time, I don't think they would understand the disrespect for adults from young people. And the elder generation being so disparaged, and people not looking at the wisdom of older people, that would bother them a great deal. And there's nothing about any of those things that are in the Constitution, but I think that they would be scratching their head on something. Another thing that I think they would be scratching their head on a little bit is the form of what we have turned the separation of church and state into. Because their separation of church and state was no interference. No interference, and it wasn't a, oh my word, you know, if you can't walk in a public building and say the word God. I mean, for crying out loud. You know, that was like, they go, what are you talking about? That's not what we meant. You know what I mean?
Well, I've always thought that the biggest thing that they would be appalled about is the money.
The money?
The money.
All the way it's spent and where we...
Well, I think that the money, which pretty much a lot of times is just out-and-out bribery to people, I think they would look at that and say that you voted that way because this person gave you this much money so you could get elected. That was not how it was intended to operate.
No, but even though there was probably some degree of that.
Oh, I'm sure, but I...
But today? Oh, my word. You know, there's... They never would have believed that people would walk into a position, walk into Congress with a modest income and walk out a millionaire.
They didn't.
No. But they all do now.
They all do now.
They all do now. And why is that?
Well, and that's the point.
It's greasing a palm.
It is.
And that's... Hey, it's been a good show.
And it's the fourth. And these are things I hope people are talking about because, you know, have fun with the fireworks, have fun with the picnics, have fun with all that. But also, you know, these are important conversations to have because the founding of this country was no small matter. And the Declaration of Independence is no small document.
I know. When I read it, I get dried out before I get it read.
It could go a long way. Have a happy fourth. Tune into the pastor's other programs, the Pastor Spot, every Tuesday from 5:10 to 6 p.m. and Wednesday from 3:10 to 4 and Sunday from 8:10 until 9. And this show will repeat on Sunday from 9:10 to 10 and on Tuesdays 6:10 to 7. Have a great fourth.
Thank you.
And if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boos in this arena.
No kidding.
To Republican candidate for president, Donald Trump.
We welcome to these microphones Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?